This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 26th of July, 2024. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. Now, may I introduce our readers for this week? Heather Bryant.
Hello.
David Baldwin.
Hello.
Deborah Crammer.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Peter Lydiard. So we begin with all our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with a recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. That is, again, 01962 861229. This number can be found on the key fob attached to your memory stick. Now, as you listen to the recording, just remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, apart from using the memory stick in the box provided, you can load it onto your own device. You can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website. That's www.winchestertalkingnews.com. You just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. Recordings are listed in date order, with the most recent first on the list. And you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on OWAS Community Radio every Saturday at 5 p.m. That's on the DAB channel. You just retune your DAB radio and search for OWAS. And you can also listen to us reading the news as a podcast via the Hampshire Chronicle website. So we go on with our usual headline stories. Now, the first of these is headed Mental Health Funds Set to Be Slashed. Read by Heather, please.
Funding for mental health wellbeing services in Hampshire will be slashed despite concerns over the possible knock-on effect on already saturated waiting lists. Hampshire County Council has approved a cut for funding for wellbeing centres which support people recovering from mental illness. From the end of January 2025, the funding will be reduced from $1,281,777 to $625,000, and the overall contract value will be reduced from $4,944,152 to $4,287,000. 3375 annually. The cut is part of the Savings Programme 2025, which aims to address the Council's forecasted budget gap of $132 million in the 25-26 financial year. The County Council commissions the wellbeing services in partnership with Hampshire and Isle of Wight Integrated Care Board, ICB, and Frimley, ICB, which plan NHS services. There are 13 centres in Hampshire and are non-clinical settings in easy-to-access central locations. The services are operated by Hampshire Mind Community Interest Company, which is made up of Solent Mind, Andover Mind, and Havant and East Hants Mind. Sally Arscott, Chief Executive of Solent Mind, said that the centres are essential services that provide spaces for Hampshire residents to receive emotional support and attend workshops, courses and activities during times of need to support their mental health.
Thank you, Deborah. David, your headline piece, please.
IT outage hits GPs and firms. A worldwide IT outage hit GP practices, transport and businesses around Winchester. In a statement on a social media, cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike said the global IT outage, dubbed the biggest of all time, was not a security incident or cyber attack. It added, the issue has been identified, isolated, and a fix has been deployed. Microsoft was also involved in the outage. St Clement's Surgery, Friarsgate Practice, and St Paul's Surgery in Winchester all had problems accessing medical records, causing chaos with appointments. Hundreds of people were alerted by phone. Commuters trying to buy rail tickets this morning faced disruption at Winchester train station as South Western Railway announced that all ticket vending machines were non-operational. The IT outage was causing disruption in the majority of GP practices in England, but there is currently no known impact on 999 or emergency services, NHS England said. Microsoft has said that the underlying cause of the problem has been fixed. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike says a defect in one of its software updates hit Windows operating systems. Overnight, Microsoft confirmed it was investigating an issue with its services and apps, with the tech giant Service Health website warning of service degradation. That meant users may not be able to access many of the company's most popular services used by millions of business and people around the world.
Thank you, David. Deborah.
Survey shows best and worst GP surgeries. The best and worst regarded GP surgeries in Winchester have been revealed in the results of an annual survey. Patients have given their opinion on their surgeries as part of the GP Patient Survey 2024. Nationally, nearly 700,000 surveys were completed, a 27.3% response rate. According to the data, of the 12 GP surgeries across the Winchester district, boundary surgery in Winchester Road Fourmarks took the top spot with 97.1% ranking in the overall positive experience category. Meanwhile, St Paul's surgery in Alison Way Oram's Arbour, Winchester, scored the lowest with 69.9% in the overall positive experience category. The rankings in the overall positive experience category are boundary surgery 97.1, Twyford surgery 91.4, Stockbridge 90.7, the Watercress Medical Group 89.9, Wickham 86.5, St Clement's 86.5 as well, Grattan Surgery 84, Whitchurch 83.7, Friarsgate 83.2, Alsford 78.8 and St Paul's 69.9. James Roach, Director for Primary Care for NHS Hampshire and Isle of Wight, said, "Each year the National GP Patient Survey provides us with a snapshot which can help us to better understand both positive patient interaction with our GP practices and areas we can improve on. Throughout the year, we use a variety of methods to hear about people's experiences. And we know that sometimes access to GPs specifically, or the time frame in which the appointments are given, is an area that patients have concerns over. We're seeing record numbers of patients in general practice and continue to look at innovative ways in which we can support our practices and patients. Over the past 12 months, we've been supporting our practices to help overcome some of these challenges. For example, we have expanded our primary care workforce by recruiting an additional 219 people into supportive roles through the Additional Roles Reimbursement Scheme. These roles include health and wellbeing coaches and first contact physiotherapists to help people get access to the most appropriate support more quickly. Most of our practices have updated their phone lines, which includes the option to have a callback service if lines are busy. And through the Pharmacy First scheme, thousands of people have been able to access advice and treatment for 7 common conditions via their local pharmacy without the need to make an appointment."
Thank you, Deborah. My headline piece is "Residents Fury at Increasing Disorder, Antisocial Behaviour at Ex-Offenders Hostel." Feelings reached fever pitch as residents sought answers over the increasing antisocial behaviour around an ex-offender's hostel. Highgate residents held a crisis meeting over the chronic disorder they have endured near Westview House, a few yards from their homes. Around 25 people from the Hyde area grilled representatives from A2 Dominion, which operates the home, and Winchester City Council, responsible for homelessness in the city. In a heated meeting on Tuesday, July the 23rd, residents called for more action to tackle the increase in crime. The police had no representation at the meeting. When the Chronicle arrived, council representatives were not keen for the proceedings to be on record, but gave way after residents insisted. One member of the audience said, "We want our voices heard. I'm glad the Chronicle is here." At the entrance to the room was a selection of posters showing what residents thought of the situation. They said, "Feeling safe in our home is gone. Urinating in public places every day, scared to leave home after dark, no control at Westview House, unsafe place to live here, constant foul language night and day. Action needed now, not tomorrow or soon. A2 Dominion, take control or close. Frequent sexual activity in public places, constant promises but no action." Excuse me. Little or no police presence. Residents from Westview House regularly appear in magistrates' courts cases, as they appear covered by the Chronicle. The offences are usually shoplifting, which indicates they have drug addiction issues. Julian Perkins, who lives in Highgate, said, "I hope the authorities that run Westview House appreciate what the depth of feeling is. For me, the whole objective of this meeting is to make it absolutely clear that we have totally had enough of the goings-on at Westview House." Rebecca Hallett, Neighbourhood Services Team lead at Winchester City Council, told the meeting that residents should report any antisocial behaviour they witness with photos and as much detail as possible. She added, "Prior to Thursday, we had seen a reduction of reports of stuff coming through, which is really important. That's not to say we weren't getting any, but we have seen a reduction." One resident said, "That's because we don't see any change. We've given up." Councillor John Tippett Cooper, who represents the St Bartholomew Ward on Winchester City Council, attended the meeting and lives nearby. He said, "I'm as acutely impacted by this as everyone here. In fact, I'm very tired today because I've had two broken nights of sleep because there's been a lot of disruption." Funding for Westview House is partly provided by Hampshire County Council. As part of budget cuts, the funding may be withdrawn after the decision is published in October. Jude Cross, Director of Specialist Housing at A2 Dominion, said in a statement, "Westview House helps individual residents to gain the skills needed to move on to more permanent home. Everyone has a designated support officer and an independent living plan to help them get their lives back on track." Excuse me. "After the trauma of being homeless, we work with our residents to address support needs to include substance misuse, education and health, and encourage meaningful activity." A Hampshire County Council statement said, "We are aware of the ongoing concerns of local residents in relation to their experience of living in the vicinity and would reassure them that we continue to work closely with the provider and the City Council to address the issues they've raised." City Council statement said, "We completely understand the concerns of Highgate residents who have experienced instances of antisocial behaviour over the past few weeks, and we're keen to work with them alongside our partner agencies to address the issues that have been occurring. Hampshire Police have been contacted for a comment." Right, we now go on to read the death notices, starting with Heather, please.
Cunnington. Christopher Robin Cunnington, peacefully at home, 10th of July, aged 79.
Dodd, Shirley Mary Elizabeth Dodd, née Jewison, peacefully at St Catherine's View Care Home, July 16th, 6 days short of her 90th birthday.
Felstead, Shirley Ann Felstead, née Poulton, unexpectedly at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 13th of July, aged 83.
Mansell, Angela Mansell, née Riley, known as Angie, peacefully after a long fight, 27th of June, age 59.
Nicholson, Richard John Nicholson, known as Rich, 10th of July, aged 57.
Reed, Barry L. Reed, peacefully, 2nd of July, aged 86.
Scott, James Alexander Scott, on the 5th of July.
Thank you. Now we go on to hear Christian comment read by Heather, please.
This Christian comment is headed, "The New Testament is a Good Manifesto." Well, it doesn't seem all that long ago that we were all poring over various manifestos and leaflets from all kinds of political parties who each, in their own way, promised to make our communities and the country a better place. But now the people have made their own individual choices, and there have been changes in the corridors of power. It also seems that across the pond, in that other country, they are about to enter into similar activity. Myself, I have read up on various manifestos from all kinds of parties in both countries. Although I have opinions, preferences, and ideas, I realise that no system created by man is perfect. This caused me to remember a particular manifesto that was given to me many years ago by a particular Anglican church minister who was visiting my father when he was ill. This was quite simply a new kind of manifesto. It wasn't from one of your run-of-the-mill political parties. Its origin was altogether very different. The manifesto was actually a pocket New Testament. I read it avidly in the following weeks and found out that there are some very unique, refreshing and different ideas in it, which are worth living your life by. For instance, in John chapter 3, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Also in Matthew's Gospel, it introduces a new concept centered around the phrase, "Love your neighbor as yourself, even if you don't agree with them." Maybe some political leaders today would benefit from taking heed. As a result of that visiting minister's influence and the input of many others, I decided to follow the guidance in that manifesto, New Testament, and I went on to follow the Christian faith myself. Well, the UK election may be over, and there are wastebaskets all over the place full of political leaflets from all the various parties, but I would personally always recommend the timeless solid gold that you will always find in the very best manifesto of all, the Bible. This from the Reverend David Walker, Elim Church, Romsey.
Thank you, Heather. Now we go on to letters to the editor. David, could you read the first letter, please?
This letter is from Simon Lever, living in Juniper Close, Badger Farm. Austin tribute. There have been a number of discussions whether a statue of Jane Austen would be appropriate on Winchester Cathedral's inner or outer close. Controversy is centred around her not having written any of her legendary novels in Winchester. Jane Austen was brought to College Street, Winchester, where she sadly passed away on July the 18th, 1817. The significance of Winchester was such that her brother Henry, who had clerical contacts with the cathedral, was able to facilitate her burial in the North Aisle with a memorial gravestone, which today attracts visitors from around the world. Winchester is certainly worthy of a statue of Jane Austen. A standing statue would be suitable, perhaps the one where she stands with her fingertips on a table. Winchester should be worthy of a statue, as Jane Austen spent her last days in the city.
you, David. Deborah.
And the next letter is from Edna Bowden, and it's entitled Lost Opportunity. In 2017, 7 years ago, a leisure developer offered a privately funded scheme for the Bar End Depot site, which included an ice arena, curling, 10-pin bowling, dance studios, community hall, convenience store, and a small budget hotel. They had funding in place and could have started on-site as soon as planning was granted. Despite several attempts to secure council approval and support, the last being in September 2023, their patience ran out and they took their £1 million funding package elsewhere. What a missed opportunity. This now derelict site could have been a thriving hub of sporting and social activity. Why do councillors and planners have no vision for the benefits of sport to the community? This needs to change if the next generation are to keep fit and healthy. Provision for new or additional sports facilities in Winchester needs to be on every council or developer agenda for any proposed future development in the city. Edna Bowden, Winchester Ice Sport Association, Green Hill Road, Winchester.
Thank you. My letter is written by Julian Perkins and it's head Clearance Needs Hazmat Protection. From this letter, can the department responsible please take action to remove the awful pile of materials that are clearly a real health hazard at this location? And that refers to a photograph of a corner of a building in central Winchester. This is no reflection on the person responsible, who is clearly in need of support, but given that the area is the gateway to the city for those who arrive at the adjacent or nearby car parks, it gives a dreadful first impression. It must not fall to our great team who try hard to keep clear street debris, but need specialists with appropriate hazmat protection. Having tried unsuccessfully to contact Environmental Health, I hope this will trigger a prompt response. Written by Julian Perkins, Hydegate, Hyde, Winchester.
This letter is entitled Missing the Point, on a similar theme, but from John Seeger Green. Methinks the Hampshire Police, in its letter to the Chronicle of July 18, have missed the essential point of my letter, Chronicle July the 11th. Which was concerning a scaffolding lorry parked beside a pedestrian crossing and endangering life and limb. The response one would have hoped for was that the Hampshire Constabulary have ascertained the details of the scaffolding company concerned, contacted the relevant corporate officer, discovered when the scaffolding is to be struck, made certain that if this activity will cause again an obstruction to traffic and endanger pedestrians, then adequate traffic control measures will be in place, and confirmed that the police will monitor the situation as and when it occurs. One can but hope that this has taken place, but an assurance in that regard would be appreciated. The secondary problem of contacting the Winchester Police Station remains, despite the website connections offered. Upon using each of them, I was confronted with a notice asking if I thought the connection was safe. Why should I think that it was not safe is a mystery to me, as does how to contact a live local policeman. John Seeger Green, St Cross Road, St Cross.
Thank you, David.
This letter is entitled Threat to Life. I woke up this morning to the revelation that the head of the US Secret Service has stated that the assassination attempt on Mr. Trump was able to take place as the roof where the rifleman was located had a slope. It was deemed not safe to inspect or place an agent on this roof, thus resulting in loss of life and injuries to those in the crowd. Health and safety gone mad? What do we now consider dangerous in our society? What are the new boundaries? This leads me to the question of what risk we should we be willing to take today to ensure the safety of others, and how we achieve sensible boundaries. I live in Orr's Meadow, a small group of residential buildings off the Alsford Road. Our road is also part of the A31, a dual carriageway with a speed limit of 70 miles an hour. there was a terrible traffic accident which temporarily closed access towards Winchester and involved a stagecoach bus. This is just one of many horrifying accidents that have occurred on this stretch of road, many of them fatal. This is a road which has residential buildings along it, which has bus stops and which has public byways that local walkers like to use. There is also frequent farm traffic. I do not understand why Hampshire Highways does not see the 70 miles an hour limit speed limit on this stretch of road as a serious threat to life. The crash happened a few metres away from the bus stop where our collective teenagers stand to catch the bus to Peter Simmons every morning. There is no shelter for them, just a stick in the ground where they stand, next to the oncoming morning rush hour traffic, which comes towards them at speeds well over 70 miles an hour. Is this an acceptable risk for our young people to take every morning? The counter-argument will be that there is a central reservation. This reservation, however, is a strip of grass. Just as a sloping roof may be considered unsafe by the US Secret Service, I would suggest that a strip of grass is an ineffective barrier for preventing accidents on a dual carriageway. The stagecoach bus lost a number of windows in this morning's crash. Today is the first day of school holidays for Peter Simmons. If this accident had happened yesterday, it would certainly have been full of college-age children. Is this an acceptable risk today in Hampshire? Myself and other residents have spoken to the Council on Hampshire Highways many times about safety on this road, the need to reduce the speed limit, to take account of the fact that this is also a residential road, and to improve the safety of those crossing the road and those waiting to catch the bus. Hampshire Highways have not listened, and indeed we were once told that the bus stop would be simply taken away from us. How short-sighted when there is such a need for public transport all over the UK. I am thankful to hear that there were no fatalities this morning, but it is only a matter of time before there are. Please let us call for the safety of our rural bus stops in Hampshire to be improved and for speed limits to be adjusted where there are residential homes and public byways. Let's not cry health and safety, but make a plea for common sense and the foresight to see when there are unacceptable dangers in our everyday lives. From Christina Fernley, Horsford Road, Horsmeadow, Horsford.
Thank you. Deborah.
This letter is from Councillor Danny Lee. Water concerns. I recently attended the Hampshire Water Transfer and Water Recycling Project consultation, which addressed the proposed 40-kilometre water pipeline intended to alleviate water shortages in Western Hampshire and protect our chalk streams. However, I left the consultation with significant concerns. The construction of this pipeline will result in 17,640 tonnes of carbon emissions and cause considerable biodiversity harm, affecting between 480,000 to 800,000 species. This is in addition to the substantial carbon and energy emissions associated with the project's ongoing operation and maintenance. Given the latest alarming State of Nature report and the rapidly worsening climate crisis, it is clear that we need a more updated and sustainable approach. One major issue is the plan to use recycled wastewater for the new Havant Reservoir and our drinking water without fully removing trace chemicals. This is particularly concerning given the increased complexity of pollutants in our water supply. Additionally, discharging surplus recycled water into the Solent will further harm our natural ecosystems. The extended construction period will also disrupt communities and landowners significantly. Southern Water's Water for Life programme failed to include several viable alternatives in their previous consultations, which has determined this project. Options such as water abstraction near tidal limits, which would restore natural river flows at lower cost, were overlooked. Storing excess winter water in new reservoirs and confined aquifers also presents numerous benefits. Moreover, the assessment of desalination options was prematurely halted. Advances in nanotechnology desalination, desalination batteries, and improved management of brine byproducts suggests that desalination could offer a more resilient, future-proof solution. Rechargeable seawater batteries for direct transformation of seawater into renewable energy strongly suggests further investigation is warranted. These technologies could provide clean, remineralized water and contribute to a new green economy and energy sector. I urge the new government, the Water Regulator and Water Resource South East to reassess the Water for Life programme, including the previously overlooked options, which could result in a project that is less harmful and offers broader co-benefits, deserving of a new consultation. Danny Lee, Councillor for Central Mearn Valley and Green Group Leader, Winchester City Council, Swanmore Road, Droxford.
Thank you. My next letter is written by Andrew Loretto, who is Director of the Hat Fair and Playmakers Play to the Crowd. Hats off. Thank you to Rebecca Hiscott for her letter in the Hampshire Chronicle, July the 11th, pointing out the significant role she and Helen Kent played in revitalising Hat Fair in 1987 and paving the way for future festivals. With Hat Fair celebrating its 50th birthday this year, we owe a huge debt of gratitude to all of the organisers, artists, communities, volunteers, venues and partners who have kept the festival going and thriving over the decades. So I'm delighted that Helen's achievements have been recognised in your letters pages. I think this year's Hat Fair really encapsulates a sense of community. From the gorgeous carnival parade to the look back, look forwards, look up opening event repurposed for Theatre Royal Winchester, through to Austin Dance and Fidget Feet involving local participants and audiences in their shows in such a generous, skilful and joyous way. A year of the giant wheel, stunning aerial, Elvis on a tractor, bingo, beautiful circus dance with giant bamboo, joyous hatters, people dancing en masse in front of the cathedral, celebrating St. Lucian culture and the spirit of being alive, to the gazing at clouds, celebrating fantastic work from students and young people and our diverse local communities, also seen in windows of local businesses through creative writing. On behalf of all my colleagues at Play to the Crowd, I wish to thank the residents of the City of Winchester and all our audiences for braving the inconsistent weather this year and helping us to celebrate Hat Fair at 50, and to the Hampshire Chronicle for its ongoing support and coverage as well. As we look to the future, here's to 50 more years of delighting, uniting and surprising through local, national and international outdoor arts. In the meantime, readers can wish Hat Fair a happy birthday and help keep future festivals free by donating via our website, www.hatfair.co.uk. Oblique support us. And that was written by Andrew Loretto, who is Director of the Hat Fair, Play to the Crowd, Jury Street, Winchester. Heather.
This letter is headed Obstacle Course from Nick Ray. The recently implemented pedestrian crossing across Romsey Road near the old barracks that now links Clifton Terrace and St James's Terrace is welcome and long overdue on a sometimes dangerous stretch for pedestrians attempting to cross the road. But how has Hampshire County Council got this so wrong in terms of bicycle access into town? Road level obstacles in Clifton Terrace now mean bicycles have to stop dead in the road in Clifton Terrace with cars fast approaching behind and then lug their machines over these obstacles and then a high curb. It would have been so easy to get this right with proper consultation with cycle groups in Winchester or someone on the council who is thinking about bicycles. Why has this not happened? I have been told by the HCC that a remedy will come. When? But what a waste of time and money to have to revisit this and create more disruption. If bikes can turn left at this point, they can access the not well-known cycle route through the barracks into town and start to create safer routes into town. Research just published in the British Medical Journal says that there is direct evidence of the health benefits of active commuting, with those who cycle to work associated with a 47% lower risk of death and 24% lower risk of hospital admission for cardiovascular disease. But cycle commuters are twice as likely as inactive commuters to be admitted to hospital after a road collision. It says this reinforces the need for safer cycling infrastructure to enable more people to access active travel journeys and the important health benefits. Hampshire has one of the worst bicycle accident rates in the UK. So could our new MP, Danny Chambers, help persuade the HCC and our police commissioner, Donna Jones, to aim to be the best city in the UK for cycling instead? To get on their bikes and to factor in and properly integrate cycleway design into future Hampshire road planning. Nick Ray, Fordington Avenue, Full Flood.
Thank you, Heather. Now, if you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836. Or you can email them news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk or write a letter to the editor, 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. So we now go on to editorial comment, read by Deborah, please.
Crisis meeting at Westview House. We want our voices heard. I'm glad the Chronicle is here. So said a member of the public at a meeting to discuss Westview House and the escalating antisocial behaviour by some of its residents. As our front page story outlines, neighbours of the hostel have been suffering appalling disturbance in recent months. Two meetings have been held in private, and on Tuesday there was a third. The Chronicle got wind of the meeting and turned up, to the consternation of the public officials there. As with most council officers, they are happiest working in private, away from the public gaze. This is not to criticise these particular city and county officials per se. It's a failing of most British public bodies that they see knowledge as power, and the fewer the number of people who have it, the better. But the public wanted the Chronicle to attend to ensure public accountability on the part of these publicly paid officers. Eventually, the officials realised the daftness of their stance and relented. So, this issue is now fully in the open and can be aired. Westview House is a long-established trying to set offenders back on the path to sorting their lives out. It has had many successes, but at the moment, it's teetering on the edge. There appears to be a lack of effective management and a weak policy that allows offenders to return to live at the hostel after serving a prison sentence. Readers of this newspaper will see that not a week goes by without a resident of Westview House in Highgate being sentenced in court, mainly for shoplifting. At the moment, the hostel appears to be little more than a doss house for hardened criminals who clearly don't want to be rehabilitated. Its operators, A2 Dominion, need to justify why it should remain open.
Thank you, Deborah. Now we have the opinion piece written this week by George Hayter. I'm finding it increasingly difficult to watch the news on TV. Ever more depressing stories about politics, economics and the environment make bulletins torture. Radio newspapers force feed the same misery. Let me give you a moment of relief from news laden with anxiety to bring you recent encouraging global news that was not widely disseminated. The frightening increase in the world's population is now forecast to end sooner than expected. Researchers have concluded that the world is getting richer and that as a result of that, women are having fewer babies or no baby. This is the trend. The regions where the trend is strongest are Europe and America, where for years females have been having too few babies to make up for the number of people dying. In the UK, the birth rate has been declining steadily since 1991, and the decline has been even steeper in Germany and other prosperous EU nations, where women are increasingly prioritising career and lifestyle over reproduction. With birth rate decline linked to prosperity, it is inevitable that our birth rate here in Hampshire is falling because we are part of the UK's prosperous South East. But Hampshire people may wonder how the birth rate can be falling when they see thousands of houses being built in the county. The reason is that the population of the county council area, already over 1.4 million, is going up steadily. Because of immigration. ONS estimates indicate that the year to mid-2023 saw the UK's biggest population increase for 75 years. Over 1 million people moved to this country and less than 500,000 left. The good news about the population of the whole world came early this month from the United Nations. Its World Population Prospects report claimed global population will start to go down before the end of the century. In a similar report 2 years ago, the UN said that global total would merely be stable by 2100, rather than going down. Not only does the report say that the peak will come sooner than hoped, it also thinks that the peak, when it comes, will be lower, at 10.3 billion rather than its earlier prediction of 10.4 billion. Current world population is 8.1 billion. Already, population is going down in Europe. The peak came in 2020. The UN calculates that by the end of the century, Europe's population will have reduced by a fifth. Leaving out migration, theoretically, for population to be stable, the birth rate needs to be 2.1 babies per woman. In the UK, it is 1.6. A quarter of the Earth's population now live in countries where the birth rate is below 1.4, including China. Regions of the world where population is still soaring tend to be poorer regions, particularly sub-Sahara Africa. If the trend continues there for more than a century, Africa could end up with more population than all of the rest of the world. South Asia currently has about 2 billion people, twice that of sub-Sahara Africa, but as South Asia's wealth continues to increase, I expect its speed of population increase to reduce until it is overtaken by Africa in about a century. Why population growth is inversely related to wealth has been put down to several factors, including deciding not to have kids, deciding it's too late to have kids, and difficulty finding a partner away from family and roots. Falling population can cause economic problems because it leads to a surplus of retired workers and a shortage of current workers, who end up struggling to pay the taxes needed to support the retired. Economics is important, but the planet more so. Lower than expected population growth raises hopes of eliminating the doomsday threat of temperatures spiralling. Fewer people mean fewer tons of carbon being burnt into the atmosphere, and fewer square miles of deforestation making way for agriculture and buildings. So, less global population is encouraging. Pity it wasn't on the news. Right, we now go on to a letter from Westminster, read by David, please.
This is the new Lib Dem MP's first letter from Westminster. He is, of course, Dr. Danny Chambers. I'm excited to be writing my first letter from Westminster, even if I am doing so while recovering from COVID. Many people have asked me why I would want to give up being a vet to go into politics. It's a good question because practicing on as a veterinary surgeon has been deeply rewarding. It is the perfect job for someone like me who grew up on a farm working with animals, but who really loves science at school. Although it is a very satisfying job, it can be really tough. It may surprise you to learn that vets have a suicide rate 4 times the national average. I've long been determined to help tackle this issue, so for the last 7 years I've been a trustee of a mental health charity. People going to their GP feeling suicidal may have to wait months for the specialist assessment and treatment they need. This needs to change. I've long campaigned for mental health to be treated with the same level of importance as physical health. When door knocking, the mental health of children and young people whose education and development was affected by the pandemic is being brought up time and time again by parents who are worried sick that their teenagers are waiting months or even years to access the support they need. Speaking of education, I went to a state school and I've had a hugely enjoyable and fulfilling career. However, many children today are not so fortunate. A record number of children growing up in poverty lack the opportunities I had. Had I gone to school hungry, it's unlikely I'd be writing this post as a veterinary surgeon, and even less likely as a member of parliament. Although these are complex issues with multifactorial causes, we can begin addressing them by providing free school meals. While I will miss treating animals on a day-to-day basis, I hope to have a greater impact on animal welfare in Parliament than I ever could in clinical practice. I will push for a new Veterinary Surgeons Act to modernise veterinary regulation, support our farmers by protecting our animal welfare standards in trade deals, and promote policies to enhance animal welfare. When it comes to our natural environment and wildlife, I'll be an MP who pushes the government to take the issue of climate change seriously and who takes meaningful action to stop water companies from dumping sewage in our precious chalk streams. I've been an MP for 2 weeks now and I've got straight to work focusing on supporting our NHS. I had my first meeting at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester, where I met the CEO of Hampshire Hospitals Trust and the Chief Medical Officer of the Integrated Care Board. I've also attended Village Fetes, the opening of the Hat Fair and Hampshire Food Festival, attended events at Sparshalt College and the Winchester Science Centre, conducted multiple media interviews, replied to dozens of emails from constituents, and I've started the process of recruiting staff for my constituency office. Thank you everyone who stops to speak to me and take selfies when they see me around and about. I love our conversations and I appreciate all your words of encouragement and support. People are desperate for a change in our approach to politics. This is a fresh start. It is the honour of my life to serve as your MP and I want to thank the people of Winchester and Meon Valley for putting their faith in me. I won't let you down.
Thank you, David. Now, as a follow-up to that, there are a couple of articles in the Chronicle about Danny Chambers recently. Deborah's going to be reading one about his victory party.
Indeed, yes. Chambers thanks supporters at victory gathering. The newly elected MP for Winchester, Danny Chambers, has held a thank-you party for supporters. The event was held at Winchester Science Centre on Friday, July the 12th. As well as live music provided by Danny's partner, Emma Taylor, and her band, several hundred guests were able to watch complimentary planetarium shows and raise a glass in celebration of Mr. Chambers and his victorious campaign. In his thank you speech, Mr. Chambers praised the more than 1,000 volunteers from across Winchester and the Meon Valley willing to give up their time and their energy to go out knocking on doors to make Winchester and our country a better place to live. Mr. Chambers said he was humbled and honoured to have received more votes than any other new MP in the country. He continued, "We believe that Winchester can be a place where everyone can get the physical and mental health care they deserve, and that no one should be languishing in a hospital bed for want of a social care package. We believe that this country can be a place where an honest day's work pays a living wage, and that no one that has a full-time job should be relying on food banks to feed their families, and where no child goes to school hungry."
Thank you, Deborah. And Heather now has another article from the Hampshire Chronicle about Danny Chambers quitting his job as a vet.
Not surprisingly, headed MP quits vet job to focus on political career. Winchester's MP has announced that he's leaving his deeply rewarding job to focus on politics. Danny Chambers worked as a veterinary surgeon, founding Veterinary Voices UK, a discussion group for vets, and acting as a trustee of Vet Life, a mental health charity. In a Facebook post on Saturday, July 20th, Danny announced that he was hanging up his stethoscope. From the perfect job for someone like me, who grew up on a farm working with animals since I could walk, but who really loved science at school. Mr. Chambers was elected MP for Winchester for the first time in the general election on July the 4th. As a trustee for Vet Life over the past 7 years, he stated that mental health is one of his priorities in Parliament, where he hopes to have a greater impact on animal welfare than he ever could in clinical practice. Mr. Chambers said that people waiting months to receive mental health support from their GP desperately needs to change. He said, "I am very proud that the Lib Dems have long campaigned for mental health to be treated with the same level of importance as physical health. I'm also keen to help ensure that other state school kids have the same opportunity I had to enjoy such a fulfilling career." He said, "Bring on the continued interest and variety in my new role. It is the honour of my life to serve as Winchester's Lib Dem MP, and I'm grateful to everyone who put their faith in me."
Thank you, Heather. Dave is going to read a piece of historical interest, please.
This is entitled "India's Fedora Goes Up for Auction." Harrison Ford's fedora from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is to be sold at auction and could fetch an estimated $500,000. That's £384,000. The screen-matched hat, also worn by stunt performer Dean Ferrandini, is one of more than 1,900 rare items being sold in a four-day auction comprised of props from Hollywood blockbusters. One of the top lots is a Batwing model miniature used by Michael Keaton's Batman in Tim Burton's 1989 film, expected to fetch between $250,000 and $500,000. Elsewhere, a biker scout helmet from Star Wars Return of the Jedi 1983 is estimated to sell for the same price bracket. Clothing items up for auction include John Travolta's screen-matched leather jacket from Saturday Night Fever in 1977 and a pair of earrings worn by Julia Roberts in the 1990 rom-com Pretty Woman. There is also Joaquin Phoenix's final battle costume as Commodus from Sir Ridley Scott's 2000 epic Gladiator, which is expected to sell for between $80,000 and $160,000. Also up for auction is Forrest Gump's famous box of chocolates, which could fetch between $20,000 and $40,000. Other highlights include Chris Evans's shield from the 2016 Marvel film Captain America: Civil War, and a screen-matched ghost face costume from the 1996 horror Scream. Brandon Allinger, Chief Operating Officer of Prop Store, said, "This is Prop Store Los Angeles' second entertainment memorabilia live auction of 2024, and the sale represents another incredible opportunity for movie fans to own a piece of cinematic history. From Indiana Jones's classic fedora, from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, to the biker scout helmet from Star Wars Return of the Jedi, each item carries its own significant story and history. Whether you're a seasoned collector or new to memorabilia collecting this event promises something extraordinary for everyone." The auction will take place in Los Angeles from August the 15th to the 18th.
Thank you, David. Now, as you probably know, that Belgarum gives an alternative look at the news. I've got one piece here, which is headed "Stick in the Mud Pig Rescued." A pig was caught in a sticky situation after getting stuck in the mud. Animal rescue crews were called to rescue the helpless pig trapped in mud on a farm near Fair Oak. 16-year-old Runty had to be rescued by the specialist team from Winchester, who arrived around 1 p.m. on Friday. Using straps, they lifted the pig out to reunite him with his brother Chops. Having reunited him safe and sound, the team stopped off for a quick snap with Runty before returning to the station around 2 p.m. Runty was very appreciative for their help and was not as happy as a pig in mud. Deborah's got the second piece, yeah. Please.
And this one's called Dressing Up for Jane. Fans of Jane Austen took a step back in time and showcased their best Regency outfit days before the anniversary of her death. The Jane Austen House Museum, once the home of the renowned author, held its annual Regency dress-up day on Saturday. People didn't need any persuasion to flock to Chawton for the highly anticipated annual event, with many dressed to the nines. Among those were Amy Doolan and her mother Tracy, who enjoyed donning Regency clothes. The popular event is held on the Saturday closest to July the 18th, the date Jane Austen died, to celebrate the life and times of the author. Jane Austen spent her 18th birthday at the Dolphin Hotel in Southampton and was a frequent visitor to that city. She was laid to rest inside Winchester Cathedral.
Now, we just have a quick look at what's on in the area, starting with a piece from Heather, please.
Comedy troupe returns for City Show. A comedy troupe that started life in the University of Winchester will be returning to the city to perform. Biscuit Barrel, which was formed in 2016, has announced it will be putting on a special one-off show in September. The troupe, known for their rapid-fire sketch comedy, will be performing an extended version of their 2024 Edinburgh Fringe production, The 69 Sketch Show, at the Theatre Royal on September 25th. The Biscuit Barrel team is made up of university alumni James Horscroft, Daryl Reeder and Capriel and Monique, as well as Harry Brown and Lily Marion. The troupe has battled through personnel changes and the damage done to live entertainment by COVID-19, steadily building a reputation on the comedy circuit. Their upcoming show promises a blitz of 69 sketches in 60 minutes. Before the Theatre Royal performance, Biscuit Barrel will be travelling to Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival, where they will perform at the Gilded Balloon from July the 31st to August 26th. This venue is viewed as one of the top spots of the Fringe and will be a return visit for the troupe. Their 2023 show at the same venue drew large crowds and critical acclaim. Tickets for Biscuit Barrel's one-off Winchester show are now available for purchase on the Theatre Royal Winchester website.
Thank you. A couple more items. Tuesday the 6th of August, Discover the Harp. Discover the Harp course for adults of all levels, from complete beginners to experienced musicians wanting to try a new instrument. That is at Best Western Chilworth Manor Hotel. And it says free harp to take away. However, the course costs £199 to join. The second item is on Thursday the 8th of August. A summer walk round St Catherine's Hill, Winchester. Summer wildflower and butterfly walk. That is organised by the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust. There doesn't seem to be much to tell you about this this week, so I thought I might sort of tell you a little bit about one of the things we don't normally read about. This is about something that's coming up at the 1865, which, if you didn't know, is a music venue in Southampton, and it's headed Sacramundi. Sacramundi is an exciting opening salvo from an act whose promise feels written into each of its jams, and whose balance between songcraft and improvisation served as an immediately distinguishing factor amid an increasingly crowded Southern Californian heavy psych scene. Have you got that? So finally, before we go on to items of general news, let's have a look at the lighting up times for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 5:20 a.m. and set again at around 9 p.m. Do you know, I cannot believe the days are already getting shorter and we haven't had a summer yet. Right, now we go on to items of general news. Heather, can we have the first article, please?
This article is headed Residents in Plea to Keep Major Road Open. Residents of Kings Barton have again urged the city and county councils to keep a major road open as conditions for redeveloping Sir John Moore Barracks. Redeveloping the barracks in Flowerdown, included in the Winchester City Council draft local plan, a blueprint for future development, would add 800 to 1,000 extra homes and another park and ride site. However, the news was not welcomed by residents of Barton Farm, known as Kings Barton, since all traffic would be crossing the estate, which Mike Slynn, chair of Kings Barton Residents Association, said is unacceptable. Mr. Slynn said the increase in traffic from this redevelopment results in Winchester Avenue being heavily overloaded. This is unacceptable to Kings Barton residents and may also be to many Winchester residents. It's important that the design of the Andover Road, Harestock Road, Winchester Avenue Junction includes the opportunity to keep Andover Road open for traffic. We have not seen the collar design for this junction, but we request the opportunity to see it. He also said that Headbourne Worthy Parish Council and Kingsworthy Parish Council confirmed the Residents Association view that Sir John Moore Barracks should not go ahead if Andover Road is closed. He added, "Our petition is then that the County Council insist on Andover Road being kept open to all traffic as an essential part of any permission for the redevelopment of the Sir John Moore Barracks, and we request the Winchester City Council include these requirements in their draft local plan." The association has a long-running fight with Hampshire County Council and Winchester Council to reopen Andover Road to all traffic, since the closure diverted drives through Winchester Avenue, the main road through the new estate. They wrote to the Secretary of State in September 2023 to see if the decision could be reversed. The letter revealed that Kayla Holmes, the developer, could submit a new planning application without permission from the Secretary of State, since this figure gave permission more than 10 years ago. Mr. Slynn said the letter closing the main road and transferring all traffic to Kings Barton would be the first time in UK history that a main road has been closed and traffic diverted through a major new housing development. He said the developer, Kayla, is not prepared to reconsider the closure, even though the Secretary of State has written to KBRA, Kings Barton Residents Association, acknowledging that residents have good reason for wanting Andover Road to be kept open, and its advisor the issue can be determined locally. This will place the County Council in a very difficult public situation. We advise you of this at the presentation. Winchester Avenue is an unsuitable, low-capacity road to take any traffic diverted off Andover Road. The result of closing Andover Road for Kings Barton residents will be, first of all, road casualties. Traffic and accidents are likely to increase compared to situations with traffic remaining on Andover Road.
Thank you. David, please.
This is entitled Hospital Pledge, a Cynical Ploy. The new Health Secretary has said the previous government's repeated commitment to rebuild hospitals in marginal constituencies by 2030 was a cruel and cynical ploy, which gave people false hope. Speaking to the Mirror, Wes Streeting has vowed to find the truth on the Conservative promise to build 40 new hospitals, including in Basingstoke, and has ordered an urgent review. His comments come amid warnings that the new hospital programme is in total shambles, with construction work yet to begin at 20 sites, including Basingstoke. The new hospital will have a big impact on the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester, as its A and E unit and maternity services are set to be downgraded as a result of the new build. However, Caroline Morrison, Chief Strategy Officer at NHS Hampshire and Isle of Wight, said the Trust was on target, having recently published a review and conducted a consultation. She said a decision-making business case would be published later this year. Mr. Streeting told the Mirror he will finally give patients the truth on when the promise to build 40 new hospitals will be met. Basingstoke was promised a new hospital by 2030 as part of the Conservatives' 2019 election manifesto. However, the plans were delayed until 2032 after additional hospitals containing reinforced or autoclaved aerated concrete, known as RAAC or RAC, were added to the programme. Former Conservative Basingstoke MP Maria Miller, who was voted out at the election after 19 years representing the town, repeatedly said funding of £700 million to £900 million had been allocated to build a new hospital in Basingstoke. However, Mr. Streeting told the Mirror that it was painfully clear that the previous government's commitment to rebuild hospitals in marginal constituency by 2030 was a cruel and cynical ploy. He added, "The NHS is broken, and nowhere is that more apparent than in the state of some of our crumbling hospitals." He has asked officials to report to him about the status of the programme and to give a realistic timetable for delivery before he reports back to patients, clinicians and local communities with the truth about how quickly new hospitals can be built.
Thank you, David. Deborah, please.
Cathedral appoints new sub-organist. Winchester Cathedral has announced the appointment of a new sub-organist. The Cathedral hopes Oliver Morell will bring experience and talent to its music team when he starts in September. Oliver said, "I'm delighted to be joining the team at Winchester and play a part in its rich and distinguished musical tradition. I've been incredibly fortunate to gain experience at cathedrals and churches with significant choral foundations, and I look forward to bringing what I've learned to the worshipping community of Winchester." His arrival comes amidst a series of significant departures from the cathedral's music department, which have sparked concerns over its future. Director of Music, Andrew Lumsden, officially leaves at the end of this month and is to be temporarily replaced by Andrew Lucas. No long-term replacement has been found for this position. Claudia Grinnell, Oliver's predecessor, has also departed after being appointed Director of Music, St Edmundbury Cathedral in Bury St Edmunds. Adding to the sense of chaos are accusations of bullying within the music team and rumours of its members having to sign non-disclosure agreements. Oliver has served as organ scholar at St Albans Cathedral since September 2022 and played a pivotal role in accompanying various cathedral choirs, including on tour and in recordings.
Thank you. My piece is headed Traffic Wardens Under Fire. Concerns have been raised over parking wardens in Winchester at a business meeting. At the gathering at Hotel Devant, organised by the Winchester BID, local business owners complained that wardens have become too eager to hand out tickets without taking into account the lack of appropriate parking space in the city. There are reports of wardens hiding around corners in Jewry Street in order to jump out and ticket vehicles while they were unloading into local cafes. Speaking at the meeting last Thursday, BID manager Sarah Davis said they even ticketed a Biffa bin lorry while it was driving around collecting rubbish. This last incident is particularly relevant as the city's waste disposal is managed by Winchester City Council, which passed over the running of parking to Hampshire County Council last year. Since then, business owners and members of the public have reported a sharp increase in the number of parking tickets being handed out. Moreover, many feel there is no point appealing against tickets, as any formal objections made are outsourced to Oldham. Andrew Burgess, director at Chartwell Properties and Developments, describes how parking wardens had hid in an alleyway on Jury Street, waiting for vans to stop outside Café Coffee, which his company was preparing for opening at the time. He said they used to hide around the corner and run out when the vans would park up to unload. NSL, the company which the County Council contracts to enforce parking measures, came under scrutiny for its tactics. In the past, NSL has stated that its traffic wardens do not get bonuses based on the number of tickets they issue, so it is unclear why they might resort to actions such as hiding behind corners. On its website, the company says, "Ethics are at the forefront of everything we do." Those present last Thursday argued that the absence of specialist knowledge on the part of those evaluating motorists' appeals is leading to almost all of them being rejected. Many feel that Winchester's unique traffic system must be taken into account when making those decisions, and that local knowledge is essential in order to do so. The main problem for business owners has to do with loading and unloading merchandise, the meeting heard. NSL and the County Council have been approached for comment.
Bell Fine Arts' final farewell to Winchester. The windows of a historic Winchester art shop have been whitewashed after it closed down for good. On June the 30th, Bell Fine Art on Parchment Street shut up shop after 37 years of business, much to the sadness of the local community, seeing the loss of an independent shop. Owner Lawson Bell, who has retired, wants to remind people they can still see and purchase the shop's merchandise on its website. He said, "We've had hundreds of people saying nice things about the shop, and we're very grateful." He told the Chronicle that his other shop, London Contemporary Art, on Denby Street in Pimlico, is still open and is doing well. "I'm actually semi-retired," he said. "I was quite surprised that people seemed to think that I was packing up and moving to London, but I'm not going anywhere. I still live in Hyde." After a busy few months closing down the shop and tending to the business in London, Lawson plans to go on a road trip through France and Spain in August. He owns the store, but is not sure what the space will be turned into. "As of yet, we don't know," he said. "It's with the estate agents. A few people have been interested." Parchment Street is currently home to a handful of businesses, including Pai Caramba, Tosca Nacho, and Cupboard of Health. Formay, another long-established independent shop in Parchment Street, closed last July.
Thank you. David, please.
Driver had fatal crash looking at his phone. A man was looking at his phone when he died after colliding with a lorry on the M3 near Winchester, an inquest has heard. Father of four, Dwayne Evans, from the West Midlands, was 38 when he died of multiple injuries on May 16th to 2023. He did not notice a lane closure as he was driving south on the M3, which was signalled just before Junction 9 at Winnell. A few kilometres later, Mr. Evans crashed into the back of a broken-down heavy goods vehicle, which had stopped in the first lane. This was just after Junction 11 at Compton. Area coroner Jason Pegg at Winchester Coroner's Court ruled the cause of death to be misadventure. Mr. Evans of Hall Street East Wednesday was driving to Southampton from London for work in his brown Mercedes flatbed van. Dashcam footage shows he was watching videos on his phone for most of the journey. Mr. Pegg said he did not know what video Mr. Evans was watching. He did not notice the overhead gantries signalling the lane closure and continued at the reduced speed of 50 miles an hour, undertaking other cars. At the time of the crash, the hard shoulder was closed on the stretch of motorway where the lorry had broken down due to roadworks. Speaking of his son, Mr. Evans's father told the coroner, "Dwayne was a friend to everyone. Everyone used to love him. He loved his work. He added he was a little bugger for using his phone. Mr. Evans's former boss, Jamie Unit, said he was best friends with his employee. Mr. Unit remembered how on one occasion when the pair were doing a job in Manchester, Mr. Evans was docked points on his licence for using his phone at the wheel while a police car was right next to them. Mr. Evans had worked as an employee at Mr. Unit's haulage company for over 4 years. Mr. Pegg said, Duane's family have my sincere condolences.
Thank you, David. Deborah, please.
Vets praised for saving beloved pet. A Hampshire couple have praised expert vets at Winchester Surgery for saving the life of their treasured pet. Sarah Louise Hulme and Simon Coward from Hamble feared the worst when Oscar, their beloved 14-year-old Labrador retriever, became critically ill with pneumonia and septic shock. He was an emergency admission at Anderson Moore's veterinary specialist on Poles Lane, Otterbourne, where he needed to be resuscitated before spending 8 days in intensive care. Sarah Louise said Oscar has now recovered well, and the couple were full of gratitude to the hospital's expert team for the life-saving treatment. She said, "We really can't praise Anderson Moore's enough. Without a shadow of doubt, Oscar would have died without the treatment he received. I'm a consultant in paediatric intensive care medicine and found so much of what Oscar experienced and the guarded but hopeful conversations about recovery eerily familiar. The Anderson Moore's team was so good at balancing my need for all the details as a doctor and my husband Simon wanting to be able to visit him every day. I was so glad we were allowed to visit, as it made all the difference to us, and it did seem to cheer Oscar up. Apparently Oscar is going from strength to strength every day. His walks are slower and shorter than they were, but he still enjoys every minute of them." Anderson Moore's internal medicine residents, Fang Yu Fu and Victoria Neal, led Oscar's care, handling his recovery and organising his rehabilitation. Fang explained, "Oscar was a challenging case to manage initially because he arrived in such a critical state. Once he was stabilised, Oscar was transferred to our intensive care unit for 24-hour care and observation."
Thank you. My piece is headed Festival Visitors Step Back in Time. An archaeological festival has taken place to celebrate Winchester's cultural heritage. Visitors to the 2024 Winchester Festival of Archaeology, put on by Hyde 900 in conjunction with Hampshire Cultural Trust, had the opportunity of stepping back into medieval times. They had the chance to recreate tiles based on the patterns of those found over seven years of the Hyde 900 community digs, or to dress up as a monk who used to affix the abbot's seal to important documents. The tile and seal making were very popular with visitors of all ages over last weekend, with more than 50 tiles made and 25 seals produced. The calligraphy event was enjoyed by amateur scribes who wanted to continue beyond the hour allocated. The finds display, set out in the chronological order, was appreciated, giving a historical perspective to what was found during the digs. There was also a talk by former cathedral archaeologist Dr. John Crook, entitled "I Have a Monk at the Bottom of My Garden," which revealed to an enthusiastic audience just how much the Hyde 900 community digs have contributed to understanding of the abbey, the final known resting place of Alfred the Great. A first for the community involvement was the creation of a replica of the Abbot of Hyde's seal of 1537. The original document and seal are in the archives of Winchester College. Winchester College's archivist, Suzanne Foster, said, "I was delighted to help Hyde 900 develop stamps to enable participants to the festival to make replicas of the seal. The seals they made are amazingly accurate reproductions of the seal attached to the lease. Seal makers then had their leases signed by the stand-in abbot, Steve Marper." Hyde 900's next event will be at St. Bartholomew's Church in Hyde as part of Winchester's Heritage Open Days, and that takes place on September the 14th and 15th. Thank you, Heather, please.
This item, Charity Triumph Honours Hero Brother. The brother of a former county councillor has raised more than £18,000 for charity with a charity bike ride. As previously reported, Hugh Lumby resigned from his position as the councillor for the Upper Meon Valley ward at the end of March after holding the seat for 3 years. The 57-year-old of High Street, Meonstoke, told the Chronicle that the decision was made after he was diagnosed with motor neurone disease in November 2023. Now, Mr. Lumby's brother Henry has completed a series of bike rides to raise money and awareness for the Motor Neurone Disease Association. The bike rides have added up to a total distance of 1,000 kilometres, with Henry raising more than £18,700 for MNDA. Henry from Chandler's Ford said, "Hugh has been more than a big brother to me. He has been a hero through what he's achieved in his career and what he has given back to his local community. Hugh was my rock when we lost our mum to cancer when she was 58. He has faced his diagnosis with his usual grace and good humour and is attacking it head on by taking part in a pioneering research product. It's why I challenge myself to take on a blockbuster of a challenge in honour of my big brother. I called it the Blockbuster Challenge because in 1985, aged 18, Hugh was a contestant on Bob Holness's iconic Blockbuster quiz show. In honour of that moment in our Lumby family history and to raise funds and awareness for MNDA, having been inspired by Kevin Sinfield and Rob Burrow, I committed to don the Lycra and to take on a series of cycling challenges that total 1,000 kilometres. The two most significant ultra rides were Ride London, 160 kilometres, and then riding from London to Paris in early June, 500 kilometres. This has been joined by a series of 80 to 130 kilometre rides in Dorset and Hampshire that have been completed as training for the two ultras. It finished up with a 100-kilometre round the New Forest. I'm hugely thankful to my family for supporting me to do this challenge and the incredible support from the motor neuron disease community and for everyone who has donated. I've been amazed at how many lives have been touched by MND, and it has spurred me on to undertake further challenges to raise more for MNDA. Joe Coker, the MND Association's Director of Income Generation, said, "We are all in awe of Henry's efforts and couldn't be more grateful for everything he is doing to support the association and the work we do. Every penny raised by Henry and others like him helps us to get closer to our community's vision of a world free from MND."
Here's the David, please.
Air ambulance call-outs increased by almost a third. Air ambulance call-outs increased by 31% during the first half of 2024 compared to the same period last year. That's an extra two patients every day who need the specialist skills of the Hampshire and Isle of Wight air ambulance team, with each mission costing around £3,500. It means the life-saving charity needs to raise around £10 million this calendar year to remain fully operational. Doctors, dispatchers, pilots and paramedics responded to 1,183 emergency call-outs from across the region from January to June 2024, with the bulk of the missions coming from Southampton, Portsmouth, Basingstoke, Gosport, Fareham and Newport. May was the busiest month for the service, with 222 call-outs, its busiest month since July 2019. The charity points towards an increase in critical care paramedic car shifts, which run in conjunction with the team on the helicopter, and successful clinical recruitment over the last 12 months as to why it can respond to more patients more regularly. The team will only attend the most seriously ill and injured patients in the region and can provide hospital-level care at the beachside, roadside, countryside or bedside. The most frequent calls for help were for cardiac arrest, accidental injuries and road traffic collisions. The full mission breakdown showed 172 call-outs in January, 185 in February and 191 in March. In April, the charity attended 195 call-outs, 222 in May and 218 in June.
Thank you. Deborah, please.
Ribbon cut after care home revamp. A care home just outside Winchester recently invited businesses from across the city to celebrate its refurbishment. Flower Down Care Home in Hairstock completed the year-long revamp in February and held a drinks reception on a hot, sunny day. The event on Friday, July the 19th, saw the Mayor of Winchester, Russell Gordon Smith, cut a ribbon with a giant pair of ceremonial scissors. Claudia Nunes, General Manager, joined Flower Down in November 2022. She said, "We needed a huge refurbishment with better communal areas to enrich the lives of our residents. The families love the home as well as all the residents." The refurbishment took a year with the residents in-house. The team worked really hard because we had to move the residents around during the work. All the residents were really happy. There were never any concerns. Even the construction team was part of the family. We missed them when they left.
Thank you. This piece is called Development Approved Despite Residents' Fears. Plans for a controversial housing development have been approved by the City Council planners despite concern by neighbours over the loss of trees. Orchard Homes applied to Winchester City Council for permission to replace the house at Ray Howell, 30 Downside Road Takedown, with three two-storey houses. The Planning Committee approved the application unanimously on Wednesday, July the 17th. Objecting to the plans, Claire Cook of Downside Road said neighbouring properties would lose their privacy if the plan was permitted. She also raised concerns about biodiversity, saying, "On behalf of more than 80 local objectors, we are opposed to the proposal for the following reasons: biodiversity and environment. This proposal disregards policies NPPF 136 and CP16 and local neighbourhood design settlements, with the felling of 32 trees and planting of 21 young trees on the site and 7 beyond its boundary. Trees define this area and are a vital feature for the whole community. Trees should be retained wherever possible, especially mature trees. With this proposal, we fear this is not possible. We also fear for the future of trees and hedging, given the unlawful tree felling pre-planning, the radical site clearing, large-scale excavation needed, and extensive use of glyphosate proposed on this site, and other negative effects on the environment." Councillor Kelsey Learney also spoke in objection, saying, "I'm here to support the many residents who have objected to this application due to the desire to protect the character of the area, its ecology and biodiversity. It is important to reflect on the character of Downside, which, in common with Dean Lane and other side streets, consists of large, leafy trees with homes concealed by hedges and significant trees. The road is well used by pedestrians. It is not a quiet back road. The design statement is strong on the retention and enhancement of biodiverse areas and the retention of existing building lines. This application brings the building line forward, making the large house proposed very prominent." Alex King, speaking for the applicant, said the application had gone through multiple variations with the developer, working with City Council officers to make sure it was suitable. The application was approved unanimously. Permitted development rights were removed, which means any future plans must go to the council. Heather, please.
Flying ants may swarm. A biblical swarm of flying ants may descend on Winchester today due to the warm weather. The winged creatures are already flying around the city centre in their thousands. Flying Ant Day is an annual event when the insects come out of their nests and swarm together as part of their mating ritual. It tends to occur in hot and humid weather, so today's conditions are ideal. Ants tend to fly earlier in urban areas than in rural areas, probably because temperatures are generally warmer in urban environments. Experts say there can be several flying ant days each summer from mid-July until the end of August, weather conditions permitting.
Heather David, please.
Cycling chain rides in to take over cafe. An independent Winchester cafe has been taken over by a biking chain. The Handlebar Cafe in Garnier Road is now being run by Cadence, a chain of biking hubs along the South Downs. Former owner Heather Evans told the Chronicle that she had decided to step down from the business and that the takeover by Cadence came after months of talks. Miss Evans said, "It's been a really complex deal to get across the line, so we're really pleased to get to today where Cadence now have opened and are running everything. It's really great, and I'm 100% confident they are going to take it on to bigger and better things. We're really proud of what we have accomplished. It was a scrap bit of land. SPUD built this beautiful building on it, and we became its first tenants and built it into a thriving cafe. And we've had a roller coaster of 5 years. She added, "We've really loved it, and we really love our customers, but it's been really tough. Cadence approached me just as I was thinking, what's my exit plan here? Getting old, what's my route out eventually? And they approached me and I thought they were the perfect fit. I think they'll do a brilliant job." Miss Evans said that she chose to leave the business due to getting old, noting that her children have grown up and moved out, prompting her to think of what her future looks like. She also revealed that she decided to close the bespoke biking hub in Winchester in April, with plans in place for it to reopen under new ownership soon. Cadence took over the Handlebar Cafe, now renamed Cadence at the Handlebar Cafe, on Monday, July 15th, with its first day of trading on Friday, July 19th. A spokesman from Cadence said, "We're really excited to have taken over the Handlebar Cafe from Heather, who did such a great job evidently, but has now stepped away from the business. We know that it's a much-loved space that exists thanks to the efforts of many, and we'll be taking great care of it. We simply aim to serve and connect with people who love the outdoors and provide them with a great cafe and service." Cadence at the Handbar Cafe is now the sixth Cadence clubhouse networking the South Downs Way, joining others at Coking Hill, Up Waltham, Littlington, Beachy Head and Eastbourne. "We've remained true to our concept when we first launched in 2020 and are committed to good health, sustainable living, responsible enjoyment and respect for the environment and for each other." Local foodie and coffee addict Justin Fern is heading up the team of staff here, the majority of whom worked for Heather.
Thank you. Deborah.
Doors closed. A city centre food and clothes shop, regularly targeted by shoplifters, has suddenly closed its back doors. Marks and Spencer in High Street has three entrances, two from the High Street and one from Middlebrook Street. The Middlebrook Street doors, which lead to the wine and alcohol racks, have been closed for the last week. Marks and Spencer has often been targeted by people stealing items such as wine and champagne, products located near the now closed doors.
Thank you, Deborah. Well, I'm sorry to say it's all we have for you this week. Before we go, another reminder that if you have any problems with your recording, the contact number is on the key fob attached to your memory stick. Now, would you please put the memory stick and the address label in the wallet when you finish with it and return it to us as soon as possible? Well, thanks to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. Of course, many thanks to my readers today, Heather.
Goodbye.
David.
Goodbye.
Deborah.
Goodbye.
And from me, Peter. Until the next time, goodbye.